Turn with the book of Exodus tonight. Book of Exodus. One of the reasons that we see our nation going the direction it is because we as God's people have not been the salt we ought to be. And we've not had the influence in our society that we really ought to have. Today, if you seek to lead somebody to Christ, you're going to have to deal with them for quite a good length of time, probably more than once over a period of time. They do not have much in the way of background. They may have very, very little. And so it takes some time to teach them some things that they might understand who God is. They don't even know who God is. They haven't the least concept of that. And things have changed. Now, when I first got saved back in the 60s, and especially after I left this area and went to Pontiac, Michigan, to go to Bible college, most everybody in that part of Michigan was from the South. It seemed like every other person came out of Kentucky or Tennessee. Matter of fact, there were so many of them that did that it was like a southern state where we were at. I even picked up the southern dialect a little bit, and I had that in my tone. I don't know if it's still there. I don't think so. But it was so prevalent. And most of those people who came from those areas, and I'm not talking about just in Bible college because that was true there as well, most of them had a good deal of Bible knowledge from growing up. They'd gone to church. And so you could honestly go to somebody's door, talk to them for a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ, and on a few occasions you could lead them to Christ right then because they had some background. God had worked in their hearts and they were at a point of being ready for the gospel. That would happen sometimes. That is very rare nowadays. It just you just don't find that. But in those days you could. And today we've come a long way, baby, haven't we? Away from God. And so it's different today. We also find that God's people, that has changed a great deal. And I think there's two areas that we're very weak in as God's people. One of those I've been dealing with quite a bit recently, and that is that God is the Creator. We didn't evolve. God created it all. And a lot of Christians, want to accept evolution in place of the creation account of God. Or they will take this approach, well, God used creation. That's what I did until I figured out better, thanks to my wife. And we have these crazy ideas. But we need to understand God is the Creator. He made everything just the way He said. I believe in 7 literal days of creation. Maybe I should say 6, and God rested the 7th. Somebody said, why did God need to rest? God tired? No, He wasn't tired. He was setting an example for you and me. And so we have those 7 days. And isn't that amazing? We still have 7 days. If it was up to man, why, they'd be doing 10 days. Matter of fact, most of your companies, they'd be working you. Yeah, you know what they do. And you wouldn't get any time off. By the way, be thankful we live in a Judeo-Christian society. That's how we got weekends. Saturday is what? Jewish Sabbath. Sunday, the Lord's Day. And so it has evolved to where in our nation, most people have those 2 days. As we get away from those roots, we find that's changing, isn't it? So anyway, we have this problem that so many people do not believe the creation account. I hope that's not true of anyone in this room. I believe there's another area that we're very weak on. And not only the Creator that God creates, but that God is holy. Now, I believe tonight you believe that God is holy. But we need to understand that a great deal of Christianity does not look at and see the true holiness of God. One of the things that we will have in our hearts is a tremendous realization of the grace of God when we can see how holy God is. And when we have this tremendous realization and grip that God is so gracious to us that to save us, it causes our love to grow exponentially. Because God's grace, I mean, it allows us to come into the presence of holiness. But God is a holy God. And I want us tonight just stop and think about the holiness of God. Look with me in Book of Exodus chapter 15. And chapter 15. I'm going to read several verses here, starting in verse number 1 tonight. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." Now, what do you think this is referring to? I mean, what period of time are we? They had just crossed the Red Sea. Moses is writing down this song of victory. Pharaoh's armies, they were drowned, just as he said in verse number 4, in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Some people said, well, the Red Sea really wasn't that deep, and for the waters to part, why, they were just shallow waters, and after all, they, you know, that just wouldn't happen. That'd be impossible. And so God blew those waters apart, and it was called the Reed Sea instead. And it was just shallow water, and they went across, and then it closed. A Sunday school teacher was telling her Sunday school class, that is what took place. And a little girl got excited. And she said, "Why are you so excited?" She said, "Well, that's even a greater miracle than I thought. And that is because that shallow water could drown all those Egyptians." I mean, think about it for a moment. You know, 2 foot of water could drown all the Egyptian army. So, anyways, however you look at it, God did it. Amen. I just happen to believe that's what it talks about there. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will overtake, and I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" Notice those three words. "Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them." Now, I want you to stop and think for a moment. God is called holy here, and yet we find him bringing judgment. What we fail to realize is that a holy God is a just God, and that which is evil will be judged as a result. We have a problem with the holiness of God. We don't believe it as we really ought to. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your word. We pray you might just bless us, speak to our hearts. Oh, Lord, tonight, we that are here, we believe you're holy, but Lord, probably not as we ought. Oh, God, help us to see that even more as the days progress. Lord, help us to see you as you really are, the glorious, wonderful God. Work in our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Go ahead, be seated, please. This song of victory relishes in the glorious greatness of God. He gave them victory over their enemies. And we find in verse number 11 that his holiness is exalted in this song. Because he's a holy God, he is one who brought judgment upon those who were very unholy. We look at this tremendous song, and we find that God is not comparable. I just leave it at that. He's not comparable. There is nothing that compares to God. Like Hannah, when she prays, and she is praying to God, she says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any like our God." Our God is a holy, wonderful God. That means that God has absolutely no sin. Whatever God does is right. Anything that God is perfect. And He is just. He is perfect in all these ways. I want us tonight to stop and think about, and I want to take us into five different areas tonight that we can just look at and see His wonderful holiness in these. And perhaps even contrast it to ourselves a little bit. So I want us to stop and think about it. God is holy. He is the exalted one. He is the one who has nothing wrong with Him. There's no sin whatsoever. And when we look at God, that is true of His very character. God is holy in His character. Psalm 22, verse number 3 says, "But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." In John chapter 17, He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are." And the Lord Jesus, as He looks at the Father, calls Him the Holy Father. He is holiness exemplified. He is holiness. You and I tonight are very unholy. You and I, when we look into the depths of our heart and our soul, we are sinful throughout. I tease people once in a while. I say, "How are you doing?" And they say, "Oh, I'm good." And I say, "Well, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one." I know what you mean. I'm just kind of messing around. But seriously, we're not good. We are people who are bent upon evil. We don't have to be trained to do wrong. Have you had any classes in doing wrong, Athena? Have you? Have you throughout all your high school days, did you have somebody having to teach you to cheat? Nobody had to teach you. You could just do it on your own, couldn't you? Nobody had to teach you how to lie. Nobody had to teach you how to steal. We just have that within us. But God is holy. That's not in God. That's not His character. And if it wasn't for the grace of God giving to you and I of His Holy Spirit, there would be absolutely nothing within us that's good. I want you to turn with me. I've been there a couple of times in the recent weeks. Galatians chapter number 5. Book of Galatians. I believe this is a real key passage in the Word of God. Book of Galatians chapter number 5. And as we look at this chapter, we find that God is speaking of two different sets of character traits, works, if you please. Notice what it says in verse number 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh." This is us in our natural being. This is what is manifest. This is what shows up. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because of these things we do not have the privilege and opportunity to go into the kingdom of God." That's our actions. But by the way, thank God, God can save us from all that. And God can change that in our lives. And as we notice, when we get down to verse number 22, He says, "But the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit is." Notice the contrast: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. He says there's no laws against these. Against such there is no law. We have those in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is such a difference. You and I tonight cannot be holy in our character apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, because of that, we ought to never boast of our goodness. Ephesians 2:9, it's very plain, and it's referring to salvation, verse number 8. But He says this: "Not of works, lest any man should" what? "Boast." You and I tonight, because we do not recognize the holiness of God, we begin to think we're pretty good, that God deserves us. We get boastful as Christians, and we begin to exalt ourselves. And as a result, we become judgmental of others. Now, we have to judge works, all right? I understand that. Please don't misunderstand. But we become very judgmental of others, and we come to the spot where we look down our noses. That's a form of speech at other folks, because we think we have arrived. And oh, how we need to see the holiness of God, that we might see who we are and recognize, isn't God gracious that He would save our hell-deserving soul? Oh my goodness, how we ought to be so thankful for the grace of God. Well, we find that He is holy in His character. There's something else, and this might not seem like a whole lot to you to start with, but He's holy in His name. He is holy in His name. I talked to two sisters. If I say the name Tom, does holiness come to your mind? That's their brother. Why? To his wife, I say, Tom, does holiness jump into your mind? If I say, Melody, does holiness jump into your mind, Tom? After what she said, definitely not. Huh? And we could go around the room like that. Isn't that true? If I said Judas tonight, would you think holiness? Oh, that's a contemptible name. Matter of fact, we'd say, who would name their child Judas? But the name of God is holy. I want you to listen to what it says. Isaiah chapter 57 says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in turn eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. He is the holy one. Holy is His name, it says in Luke 1:49. He is holy. Our names are never given for holiness' sake. I was told among certain American Indians, when the mom or dad would come out of the tent or wherever the baby was born, the first thing they would see, that's what they'd name their child. Flying Eagle, Bending Tree, Running Chicken. What? Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was told. We go to the Word of God and we find that names were given because of personality traits. Different things about them. Jacob, supplanter, or deceiver, if you please. And we see this throughout the Word of God. But the Word God, I mean the name of God, it's a holy name. But our names don't gather that up. There used to be a name that I feared. I went to school. School's tore down today. Dudley Court stands in its place. It was called Avenue B School. And on the playground, which is somebody's bedroom today, where we'd play at, you could look up and you could see the building. And, of course, I mean school building, you can see the building. And there was a certain teacher there. Her name was Gathman. Miss Gathman. And when I was in fourth grade, I was sure that Miss Gathman was probably the most... she was next to being a Green Beret. She was a Navy SEAL amongst teachers. You know what I mean? And we feared her. I remember one time, we were out playing ball. And it strikes me because I can still hear her. And kids are saying, Miss Gathman. And all through the playground, Miss Gathman. And everybody became very good all of a sudden because they were scared to death of her. Her name brought fear. Any of y'all have a teacher like that? Yeah. Yeah. And it did. By the way, one of the first people I ever went to see after I came back to Council Bluffs and started the church, I found her name in the phone book. And she and her sister had lived together for years. Her sister's husband had died. And matter of fact, when they were teaching, her sister's husband died, and she began teaching at the same school. Her name was Mrs. Lichty. And I looked up their address, and I went and seen him and sat down and talked to him. Tried to talk to him about the Lord. Didn't get too far, but I was still scared of her. You know, I was 6'6", and she's about 5'3", but I'm still scared of her. Miss Gaffman. Her name brought terror. Our names are like that. You think Hitler, you think, oh man. You know, now some names might bring up some good memories, but only God. I mean, His name is holy. His name is holy. And a good name is something to desire. In other words, a good reputation is something that we ought to desire in our lives. But God is holy. Holy is His name. Anything we think of Him ought to have that. Not only is God holy in His name, not only is God holy in His character, but God is holy in His words. Everything God says is right and proper and true. God has spoken in His holiness, it says in Psalm 60. He is holy in all He says. But you and I, we have a problem with our words, don't we? It struck me last night. I had a guy stop at the house just briefly and to ask me a question. Never met him before in my life. And he tells me, he says, I go to this church, and he told me where it was at and so forth. And I mean, he hadn't even got his breath out from that. And he cusses. I thought, I'm sure the pastor is really happy that you talk like this, you know, and that you're representing his church. And I was kind of dumbfounded and it just rolled off. You and I tonight, we can love the Lord, but isn't it something how we can speak so horrendously? The book of James talks about it. He says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Our words are not holy words, but God's words are holy words. God is holy in His character. God is holy in His name. God's holy in all of His word. It's right. It's perfect. God's holy in His works. The Lord is righteous, it tells us in Psalm 145, in all His ways, and holy in all His works. Whatever God does is holy. God made the heavens and the earth, and several times He said it's good. When He got all done, He says it's what? Very good. It was very good. It was holy. It was right. It was perfect. And that is our God. Everything He does is right. There's no sin in God. Nothing that He has ever done is wrong. Oh, but compare that to us, or should we say contrast that to us, and most of our works, even as Christians, is for selfish reasons, isn't it? I mean, stop and think about it. Why do you go to work? Is it all for God? Let's be honest. It's not that we don't think about God, but really it's about ourselves. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? So much of, yes, it ought to be about God, but it's not, is it? But for God, it's all for the right reasons. It's all holy works. And you and I, so often it's about selfishness and all of those things. He's holding His works. And God has a holy kingdom. A holy kingdom. In the book of Psalms, it says, God reigneth over the heathen. God hath are set upon the throne of His holiness. He rules in holiness. He's a holy God. You and I are quite the opposite, aren't we? But God's holy. Let's consider tonight, what has God ever done that was wrong? Nothing. He's perfect, He's just. And we need to exalt our opinion of God. When you can begin to see how truly wonderful God is, how holy He is, it will help you to see who you are. Do you realize that? It will help you understand who you are when you can really see how holy God is. Because when we see that, we find that we are very unholy. And when we find that, and we cry out to Him for His holiness or His grace becomes very real to us. And we are dependent upon it day by day, moment by moment. Our problem is God's people in our day, it's twofold, I'm afraid. One is we do not, as Christians, by and large, I hope it's not true here, but by and large, do not believe that God's creator. And secondly, we do not really stop and consider the holiness of God. And as a result, we get inflated opinions of ourselves. And we begin to believe that what we think and what we do is as important as what God says. And it's simply not true. We've watered down Christianity. And we need to exalt Him, not ourselves. Amen? He is holy. He is pure. Never done anything wrong. Nothing. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Perfect. Without sin. It's hard to understand, but that's God. But when you can see that, it gives you a better picture of yourself. Much clearer. Can I use you a moment? Can you see what I'm holding here? It's contrasted against black. It's a gold pen, right? What do you see now? It's a little harder to see, isn't it? Because you got a black portion here. Black against black. It's a little harder. When you and I will begin to contrast ourselves to God, we begin to see who He really is. It makes the contrast very stark. And what it does in our hearts then is brings amazement that God would be so gracious to pull us into His sight. Really think about that. That God would care about you. Why would He do that? He loves us. It'd have to be love when somebody is so holy. Because He gets nothing out of the whole deal. You get it all. It's a wonderful spot. Father, tonight, thank You for Your Word. I pray, oh God, that somehow this really makes us think and consider You. Oh God, help us to raise our thoughts, our opinions of You. God, help us to see that You are indeed the exalted one, the just one, the holy one. Oh Lord, help us to understand that your judgments are right and glorious because you are holy. Lord, today we question your judgments, and people even get mad at you for them because they don't see you as holy. They make you like themselves. Oh God, may you be exalted in our hearts and our minds. We pray that you'll bless in each and every heart and life as we go our ways tonight. And we thank you for your blessed presence in our midst this evening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.